Rules of Origin for FTAs. The following content for this module was taken from the book A Basic Guide to Exporting, a product of the U.S. Commercial Service. This module was created in cooperation with the U.S. Commercial Service and the Michigan State University Center for International Business Education and Research. To view the full text version of each slide, click the Slide Notes tab in the upper left-hand corner, below the MSU's cyber logo. You may pause the presentation at any time by pressing the pause button below the slide. The glossary for this module is accessible via the Glossary tab at the top right corner. This module was last modified on January 17, 2018. A good may be produced partly in the territory of one FTA partner and completed in the territory of the other FTA partner. A good may be made from materials produced by one producer, from components produced by another producer. To determine whether a good meets an HS classification change, treat all production done in both countries as if it occurred in one country, and treat the production done by all producers in the FTA region as if it were completed by one. Note, accumulation can occur within a particular FTA region. Depending on a particular free trade agreement, FTA, the exporter or importer may need the document of origin of the good. Documenting the origin varies depending on the free trade agreement. In general, the manufacturer, importer, or exporter will certify that a particular good is FTA eligible, even though it may contain non-originating materials. The actual certificates may be required forms, such as the U.S.-Israel Free Trade Agreement or the North American Free Trade Agreement. Note, customs authorities now allow the use of an alternative NAFTA form with prior customs approval. Other free trade agreements may not require specific certificates. Claiming preference is done by the importer. The importer may ask the exporter why a particular good qualifies under an FTA. If this happens, no specific form is required, but the exporter or producer may need to provide a written statement that includes the necessary information. More details on how to document product origin can be found at the link below. In general, most FTAs require these pieces of information if the buyer or the customs officers in the buyer's country request them. The legal name, address, telephone, and email of the importer of record of the good. The legal name, address, telephone, and email of the exporter of the good. The legal name, address, telephone, and email of the producer of the good. A description of a good that is sufficiently detailed to relate it to the invoice and the harmonized system, HS, nomenclature. The HS tariff classification to 6 or more digits as specified for each good in the rules of origin. Other preference criterion states how a particular product originates, including how it complies with particular ROOs where applicable. Some agreements use a code system, like the preference criterion B, whereas others accept a sentence explaining how a particular good qualifies for an FTA, for example, Australia. For a list of certificate of origin requirements for various countries, visit the link below. In general, the de minimis rule allows up to 10%, 7% for NAFTA, of the selling price to be non-qualifying material, even though the non-originating good may not meet the TS test. However, if a foreign input does not meet the ROO and does not qualify under the de minimis rule, then the good does not qualify under the FTA. Note, there are several exceptions to the de minimis rule. For example, the de minimis rule for textile products is calculated by weight. It is important to consult the text of the agreement for more details. One of the key ways to take advantage of the free trade agreement is to understand the rules of origin, or ROOs. Put simply, to qualify for the reduced duty benefit, the product exported must originate from an FTA party or must contain a specified percentage of U.S. inputs and components. Each FTA has its own rules of origin that describe how exported goods shipped to a country or a region may qualify for duty-free or reduced duty benefits. Because the ROOs are FTA-specific and product-specific, they need to be followed carefully. The next section presents a general overview of the steps that must be taken before a good can be qualified for an FTA benefit. The different types of ROOs are examined, and the specific ways products may qualify for FTAs are explained. These include the concept of substantial transformation and product-specific and percentage-based formulas used in qualifying products for FTAs. How the ROOs are applied to specific FTAs is explained, and the ROOs for textiles, chemicals, and agricultural products, as well as the de minimis precision, fungible goods, and shipping spare parts and accessories are all discussed. To receive preferential treatment under an FTA, the exported good 1. Must be made in the FTA territory, 2 must meet the appropriate rule of origin pertaining to specific products and the specific FTA, and 3 must be documented as originating via appropriate certifications or information provided to the importer or its representative broker. Each FTA contains a specific chapter on rules of origin procedures and lists all product-specific ROOs by harmonized system numbers. The final text of all FTAs can be found at the link at the bottom of this slide. Basic steps to qualify a product for duty-free or reduced duty benefits. Step 1. Obtain the product's HS classification number by locating the Schedule B code at the U.S. Census link available on the slide, and use the first 6 digits of the Schedule B to convert it into the HS number. Note, the product must be made in an FTA country and shipped directly to be considered for an FTA benefit. Step 2. Determine the duty or tariff rate. See if there is a duty difference between the standard and preferential rates by searching the Customs Information Database or the FTA Tariff Tool, both of which you can access through the links below. If there is no duty advantage, that is, the duty rate is already set at zero or the FTA rate is equal to or higher than the most favored nation rate, there is no need to qualify the good, unless the importer specifically requests it, in which case the product still needs to qualify for an FTA preference. Use standard shipping procedures. Note, for larger shipments to Mexico or Canada, even if there is no tariff advantage, you may still want to qualify a good for NAFTA, since goods accompanied by the NAFTA certificate would get a break on the merchandise processing fee. If there is a duty advantage, proceed to qualify your product for an FTA. Step 3. Qualify your product for an FTA. If the product contains all FTA originating inputs and your product qualifies, proceed to certifying the origin. If the product contains any non-FTA inputs, identify HS codes for all these inputs and proceed to identifying the specific ROO. Step 4. Identify the specific ROO for the final product that you are exporting by consulting the USHTS General Notes or visiting the link on the slide, and locating a ROO's chapter in the final text of a relevant FTA agreement. The ROOs are listed by HS codes. Step 5. Determine if the foreign content meets the ROO, that is, if it meets the tariff shift or regional value content rule. You may also determine what content does not meet the ROO and consider making changes so it meets the ROO. If a TS-based rule is the only option for qualifying origin, check if all non-FTA inputs make the required change in HS classification, as they are incorporated into the final product. If not, check if the non-FTA originating inputs make up less than the required de minimis threshold, generally 7 to 10% of the invoice value. If you meet the TS-based rule or the de minimis exception, proceed to certifying the origin. Use the RVC-based rule if necessary. If the TS-based rule cannot be applied or the product does not qualify under the TS or the de minimis exception, see if an RVC percentage of the rule may apply. This part of a rule will require calculating a minimum percentage of FTA content using a specific formula. A costed bill of material will be necessary to calculate the RVC. If you determine the product does not meet the RO, consider changing it so it can qualify for an FTA. Note, other rules can be used to qualify a product or an FTA preference. Step 6. Certify the origin for your product. Fill out an FTA-specific certificate of origin or provide required data elements in a free-form format to the requesting party. The COO must include information on how the good qualifies for an FTA preference. That is, state the preference criterion or include a statement explaining how the good qualifies. This varies among FTAs. Shipments with a low value do not need a COO. It may state on the commercial invoice that a good qualifies. Note, to obtain a sample COO and information on how to fill out a certificate of origin or certification information, visit the link available on the slide and select FTA country. Step 7. Retain information on how the product was qualified in case of a customs audit. Most of the FTA agreements require retention of the documents for up to 5 years. If a good does not qualify for a free trade agreement, a generic certificate of origin may be issued. The exporter should verify whether a certificate of origin is required with the buyer and or an experienced shipper / freight forwarder or the U.S. Commercial Service. Note, some countries, several Middle Eastern countries, require a generic COO be notarized, certified by a local chamber of commerce, and legalized by commercial section of the consulate of the destination country. For example, Middle Eastern countries, the National U.S. Arab Chamber of Commerce may also provide such services. For textile products, an importing country may require a COO issued by the manufacturer. The number of required copies and the language it is written in may vary by country. In addition, COs for goods that don't qualify for FTAs can be obtained from a local chamber of commerce, or at ecertify.com. Note that some chambers won't issue COOs, or will only issue them to their members. Also keep in mind that certificates will only be issued for goods made in the US. A buyer may also ask you to certify the origin of a product. RVC-based rules require that a good include a certain percentage of FTA content. You can calculate RVC-based rules four ways. What you use depends on the product and on the FTA. RVC-based rules are net cost, transaction value, build down, and build up. These are the variables involved in RVC-based rules. Use them to interpret the formulas listed in the following slide. Here are the four different formulas for RVC-based rules. The value of non-originating materials used in the production of the goods excludes costs of freight, insurance, packing, and other costs incurred in transporting the material to the location of the producer. Duties, taxes, and customs brokerage fees on the material paid in the territory of one or both of the parties, other than the duties and taxes that are waived, refunded, refundable, or otherwise recoverable, including tax credit against duty or tax payable. The cost of waste and spoilage resulting from the use of the material in the production of the good, and less the value of renewable scrap or byproducts. The cost of processing incurred in the territory of a party in the production of the non-originating materials. The cost of originating materials used in the production of the non-originating material in the territory of a party. ROOs are used to determine whether or not a product qualifies to receive preferential tariff treatment under the FTA. The rules determining country of origin can be very simple if a product is manufactured and assembled primarily in one country. However, when a finished product includes components that originate in many countries, determining origin can be more complex. There are two types of ROOs, non-preferential and preferential. Non-preferential ROOs are used to determine the origin of goods exported to countries that are WTO members and therefore grant one another duties on a most favored nation basis. Under non-preferential rules, the product must be wholly the agricultural output, product, or manufacturer of one particular country. Alternatively, the product with components from more than one country needs to be substantially transformed. FTA ROOs are preferential rules. They are specific to each FTA and generally vary from agreement to agreement and from product to product. They are used to verify that products are eligible for duty-free or reduced duties under U.S. trade preference programs, even though they may contain non-originating inputs. As with a non-preferential ROO, if goods are a wholly obtained product, establishing the origin is usually fairly straightforward. However, if a good was not entirely grown or manufactured in the target region, specific ROOs may apply. For example, if paper is made entirely in the United States from U.S. trees, the paper clearly originates in the United States. However, if envelopes are folded and glued in the United States from paper made in Brazil, which one is considered the country of origin? The FTA ROOs provide precise answers to such questions. To receive preferential treatment under FTAs, U.S. goods must qualify or originate. A good is considered to be originating if it is wholly obtained, see the definition of wholly obtained at the end of this chapter, in the territory of one or more of the parties to the FTA. It's also originating if it contains foreign input, but meets specific ROOs listed in the particular FTA agreements, or meets other requirements specified in the agreement. ROOs are listed in FTA agreements by HS product classification numbers. Therefore, to determine which specific ROO applies, an exporter needs to identify the product's specific HS classification number. You can locate an HS number by looking up its US Schedule B number. The first six digits of the Schedule B number are usually the HS number, which is recognized by custom officials everywhere. To locate the Schedule B number for your product, visit the link below or call the US Census Bureau at the number provided. You will find the most up-to-date ROOs on the U.S. International Trade Commission website under General Rules of Interpretation by clicking on General Note 12 of the Rules. The ROOs for all of the FTAs are in one document. The list of 2014 ROOs can be found at the second link listed below. The ROOs are listed by chapters, and within a particular chapter, by the full six-digit HS code. Many of the ROOs refer to a portion of an HS code. Each HS code may be broken up. For example, the HS code 123456 will have Chapter 12, Heading 1234, and subheading 123456. The original ROOs are listed in an annex or in the chapter titled Rules of Origin of a particular FTA. They may be found at the first link listed. Another source is the export.gov link provided. Click on the FTA country you are shipping to and select the Rules of Origin link. You may need to consult the most recent rules as opposed to the original ones because the HS codes tend to be revised every few years, necessitating the need to adjust the rules. Product-specific ROOs are based on changes in tariff classification, RVC, or both. They explain how goods that contain non-originating, non-FTA materials or components may still qualify for FTA benefits, an important feature since many popularly traded items contain inputs from different countries other than those involved in the FTA. One of the key ways to take advantage of the free trade agreement is to understand the rules of origin. Put simply, to qualify for the reduced duty benefit, the product exported must originate from an FTA party or must contain a specific percentage of U.S. inputs and components. Each FTA has its own rules of origin that describe how exported goods shipped to a country or region may qualify for duty-free or reduced duty benefits. Because the ROOs are FTA-specific and product-specific, they need to be followed carefully. To receive preferential treatment under an FTA, the exported good must be made in the FTA territory, must meet the appropriate rule of origin pertaining to specific products and the specific FTA, must be documented as originating via appropriate certifications or information provided to the importer or its representative broker, and each FTA contains a specific chapter on rules of origin procedures and lists all product-specific ROOs by HS numbers. The final texts of all FTAs can be found at the link below. Here is how to determine rules of origin in the NAFTA, Chile, Singapore, Australia, CAFTA, DR, Colombia, Panama, Korea, and Peru FTAs. All apply TS and/or RVC-based rules of origin. The TS-based rules may vary among FTAs, but the principle of the tariff classification change test remains the same. However, the applicable RVC rules may be net cost transaction value, build down, or build up based, depending on a particular FTA and the particular product. For example, to qualify a product for NAFTA, an exporter may need to apply either the net cost based RVC rule or transactional value based ROO. Here is how to determine rules of origin in the Chile, Singapore, Australia, CAFTA DR, Colombia, Panama, Korea, and Peru FTAs. All apply TS and/or RVC based rules of origin. Apply the build up rule or the build down rule. Here is how to determine rules of origin in the Israel, Jordan, Morocco, Bahrain, and Oman FTAs. Apply TS and RVC based rules. A product that meets FTA ROOs qualifies for FTE tariff treatment if it is produced entirely in the U.S. using only U.S. materials or if it contains at least 35% RVC and undergoes substantial transformation. Accessories, spare parts, and tools that are delivered with the goods and that form part of the goods' standards accessories, spare parts, or tools are considered originating if the goods originate and are disregarded in determining whether all the non-originating materials undergo tariff change. Some agricultural products may be subject to tariff rate quotas or other restrictions. For qualifying agricultural products for FTA benefits, visit the link on the slide. The U.S. industries for autos, chemicals, agricultural products, and textiles have taken a special interest in creating ROOs specifically designed for that industry. The ROOs for automotive products are based on a tariff change alone, or a tariff change and a regional value content requirement. NAFTA requires that the RVC for these products be calculated using the net cost RVC method only. NAFTA also requires tracing. The provisions for tracing are not used in any other FTAs. The U.S. chemical industry uses the same rules of origin for all agreements. For that purpose, they created a simplified version of the rules of origin for chapters 28 to 39 of the North American Free Trade Agreement. Check them out at the link on the slide. Free trade agreements allow treating fungible goods or materials as originating, where some goods are free trade agreement eligible, but others are not. A fungible good may be considered originating if the importer, exporter, or producer has either physically segregated the fungible good or material or used an inventory management system to segregate what is recognized in the generally accepted accounting principles. Indirect materials are considered to be originating materials regardless of where they are produced. An indirect material is defined as a good used in production, testing, or inspection of a good, but not physically incorporated into the good, or a good used in the maintenance of buildings or the operation of equipment associated with the production of a good. Success story. Jet Incorporated. Jet Incorporated of Cleveland, Ohio was founded in 1955 to replace septic tanks with advanced technology treating wastewater using a smaller, cleaner system. Over the years, the company expanded into commercial systems for decentralized locations such as small villages, hotels, and tourist resorts. In short, JET provides biological wastewater treatment solutions. Wastewater enters a tank, solutions are digested by aerobic bacteria, and the urea is injected to promote bacteria growth, speeding up the digestion process. Company founder David McLaren made exporting his goal right from the start, and he obtained patents in several countries. According to JET CEO Ron Swinko, the most significant challenge has been servicing international distributors. Because some countries have lax environmental regulations, the distributors must be convinced of the product's merits, and this means educating the distributors. According to Swinko, developing countries may be focused on environmental sustainability, even to a greater extent than we are here in the United States, because of the scarcity of water. But they may not necessarily understand the benefit of regulation or the equipment that's available, Swinko said. It's important to have enough inventory for immediate shipment to meet distributors' demands. It's essential to understand export regulation and documentation requirements for each country, as well as to provide needed technical support for installed systems. Providing support often involves training the distributors to service the equipment, having support personnel available by phone at odd hours, and if all else fails, being prepared to dispatch technicians from the United States. JET discovered the importance of expanding its education program to include local regulators. Swinko said, in the Cayman Islands and in Kenya, we hosted a seminar on wastewater management for the Architectural Association of Kenya to at least provide some education into how wastewater treatment systems can generate water for reuse, and how our systems can be incorporated into sustainable projects for dwellings and resorts. Like many other successful small U.S. exporters, JET turned to the U.S. government for help. We've used the U.S. Commercial Service quite extensively, said Swinko. Because our business relies on increasing numbers of distributors, we look in developing countries for distribution partners who are technically capable either because they're currently in water purification or construction business. Recently, Swinko used U.S. Commercial Service support to expand into Southeast Asia and South America. He recently returned from a trade mission to Brazil that included 4 meetings with potential distributors in Sao Paulo. The trade mission itself was impressive. We met with high-level government officials and high-level management of potential clients. We received very detailed technical presentations on their environmental sustainability programs, and certainly from our perspective, the mission was well worth the participation and the trip. We've already had detailed discussions with 2 companies and 3 quote requests. Swinko added that JET got a lot of new business at very low cost. The U.S. Commercial Service spends a great deal of time learning about our business, learning about our company, and the requirements for distributors in the location, and then evaluates potential distributor partners and partner companies in that area. They set up meetings after they reviewed our requirements and found good matches in terms of company personality and technical expertise. The increase in global sales has been a boon for JET, which has grown to 30 employees, including, recently, an engineer focused on international work. And because of JET's domestic business depends on residential construction, the export sales helped keep the business growing despite the U.S. housing market collapse. Today, international business is about 20% of total revenue, with some nice year-over-year growth in the 30-plus percent range. The future outlook is maintaining those increases, especially in the markets where we have significant presence, like Africa, as well as South America and Latin American countries. Swinko believes that there is room for considerable potential growth in developing countries. There is considerable value in product made in the USA. In Swinko's experience, in many cases, the U.S. brand can compensate for the higher price. Overseas buyers generally respect our emphasis on environmental regulation, and U.S.-made equipment has a very positive reputation. He also says buyers ask about non-U.S. components, so the more U.S. content, the better. Asked if JET is a better company because of its international experience, Swinko replied, "We're a better company because each of those countries, while they can use the basic equipment, do require some modification, do require some particular levels of service, and so that knowledge has really driven some of our innovation of the equipment systems we produce. JET plans to keep working with U.S. government export assistance programs. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help." has never been a line laugh for us. Just the opposite, we say, welcome and let's go. A special thanks to the U.S. Commercial Service for the content of this module. This slide will take you to current news headlines on this topic. The links will open in a new browser window. You may have to enable pop-ups in your browser. You can advance to the remainder of the slides by clicking the play button. Global Edge offers a number of resources on this topic. The links will open in a new browser window. You may have to enable pop-ups in your browser. This slide concludes this module.